Hi, everybody. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
I'm just going to speak up here so I don't have to shout. My name's Billy. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I'm really grateful to be here today. And I'm giving the male perspective from body image. I don't really know anyone else's perspective, so I'm just going to tell you guys about mine. And thanks so much for the speakers before. I got so much. I'm glad I didn't go first because now I feel like I'm in a more spiritual place after hearing you guys talk and all the shares. So I'm really grateful and related a lot. And you know, I was told to tell when you share your story, you know, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. And I guess I'm just going to try to do that with my struggle and journey with body image. Tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I related a lot to what people said about shame and the environment growing up, because I also grew up in an environment very similar. And you know, I was at a family reunion a couple days ago, and it was just fun to look back and see. So every time they saw like a new family member arrived, the first thing anybody said was either, "Oh, you look great," or like, you know, it was all about looks. It was like the first thing. And it was at a pool, and so anytime anybody would come out to the pool, there was the first thing anyone would say was a comment about what they looked like. And that's, it was very insightful to see that, because my family had a very high priority on appearance. And growing up in my family, and they really wanted me to not be heavy. I don't know why. I know that one of my parents was teased as a kid for being heavy and didn't want the same for me. So it came from a place of love. But the way that they thought would be the best way to parent me was to shame. Was shame. And I have a million examples that I'm not going to go into of just mean, shameful things that were said to me. I don't think to try to hurt me. I think they were trying to get me to eat better or lose weight, which is ironic because I'm a compulsive overeater. And you know, once I believe in the whole idea of that there are certain foods that I eat alcoholically, and you know, once I started eating those things, I wanted to eat them, and there was no turning back. I was going to eat those foods because I was physically addicted. And so it was this big struggle and this big fight. It definitely has impacted me and how I looked at myself. So, you know, my disease, I'm going to kind of stick on the body image thing and not tell you about all the times I spent binging and purging. But before I found recovery, there were a lot of things that I did to shame myself. So first of all, the mirrors. You know, we talked about mirrors before. I grew up on a boat, and they had a mirror in the front, and then they also had a mirror in the back. And that was probably the worst thing you could possibly do to a person who loved to look at the mirror and just berate myself, because I could see it all. And I would just, and I was so mean. The things I said to myself when I looked in the mirror were just cruel. Most of them were, I love looking in the mirror and calling myself a piece of shit. That is my go-to, and just telling myself how terrible of a person I am, and how unworthy and how unlovable I am. And I do remember looking in the mirror and hitting myself, just berating myself. And I used to be obsessed with that, and I used to be obsessed with the scale. I used to weigh myself every day, and how I felt about myself that day was directly correlated to the number that showed up when I stepped on that scale. And it went both ways, because if it was more, then I was a terrible human being, but if it was less, then I'm on a high. Like I used to get high if I would wake up in the morning and that number would be one less than what it was. The other thing is, you know, it cropped up in my relationships. I mean, I really didn't think deep down that I was worthy of love or that I was an attractive person. And but if I could find somebody who loved me or who thought I was attractive, then it would get me. I couldn't do it myself, so I needed other people to do it. And it wasn't in a healthy way, like it is when you come into OA. You hear that, like, oh, I needed to love you. All loved me. I did it in a very dysfunctional way for the longest time, and I needed that attention. I mean, I actually didn't need it, but it felt like I had to have it. And I just remember, like, you know, going out, and if I couldn't find that from somebody, then I would go home and binge, pretty much, is what I'm trying to say. Like, if I couldn't find, like, you know, somebody to flirt with me or to affirm or counter this idea that I was a ugly, terrible person, then I would go home and beat myself up with food. Which is so funny, because I beat myself up for being overweight, but then the solution would be to go eat more, and then it just didn't make any sense. And my story, too, is that I'm a yo-yo dieter, or yo-yo, you know, and my weight just went up and down and up and down. And I mean, I could go 90 pounds in a couple months. I mean, that was nothing. I would never, you know, I'd go months without seeing my friends from home or my family. And when they saw me, it was always this. They would never know what I was going to look like when I showed up. And I would either come home heavier, and I would see the look of shock and disgust on their face, or I'd come home a lot lighter, and I'd see that joy and happiness that, oh, you look great, and I fed off that. I needed it. I had to have it. I would, you know, if I was planning a trip home for Christmas, I was on this, like, crash diet, I would just... It was all about that first look from my parents or from my siblings, like how great I looked. And it's so funny, because it was a drug for me that I needed it, but it never was enough. Because once I got it, I wanted more, just like the food. I could never, ever have enough praise from that outside. And you hear it a lot that I had a God-sized hole, and I was looking for things on the outside to fill it. And I do have that. That's me. I have this God-sized hole, and I want outer. I want something from the outside to fill that up. I came into these rooms in February 2009, and I went to my first meeting actually right down the street, St. George's. It was a HOW meeting, and I was the only guy, and I was the only person under the age of 50, and felt very out of place. And I do remember they told me about the men's meeting, and that's the next meeting I went to. But I started to recover from this body image stuff when I got into OA. And early on in my recovery, a couple things happened around this. First of all, I listened to a tape. And I mean, when I put down the food, the body image stuff did not go away. You know, and I was really excited to join OA because I was going to lose weight and look awesome. And that was a pretty main reason. And so I was abstinent on a pink cloud, and I was walking, actually it was right out here, like a block away, and I was walking to a Capitals game, and I saw the reflection in the mirror, and I was like, man, you are ugly and fat. And I immediately, once I said that to myself, immediately said, I want to binge. You know, it was like that. It was just automatic, and I said, whoa. Where did that come from? And I knew that this was an issue that I was going to need to deal with, because if I just kept pushing it down, the food was going to come back. And so just seeing that, how my brain operated, beating myself up, feeling shame, and then eating so I didn't have to feel that shame, I knew this was something that needed to be addressed. And we talked to my sponsor about it. And I think we were on step three at the time. And I had done step three, and I'd kind of surrendered my will and my life to a higher power. What I was going to do, how much money I was going to make, but I didn't surrender how much I was going to weigh. That was still up to me. You know, I was still dieting. I was still on the scale every day. And I went on a phone meeting. So I was going to phone meetings a lot. And I heard this phrase, and this woman on the phone said, if you focus on the recovery, you will lose the weight. But if you focus on the weight, you'll lose the recovery. And that blew my mind, you know, that if I would just focus on my meal plan and working the steps and abstaining from the foods that I am allergic to, meaning that when I eat them, I can't stop eating them, that the weight will come off naturally. Kind of. My sponsor did this when I did the third step. He's like, just go to meetings, just work the step, and your job, your family, all of your life is going to fall into place. And he's like, you'll be, and I didn't believe him when he said that. That's crazy talk. But it actually ended up being true. That if I just focus on going to meetings, helping somebody else, everything works out. My job works out, life works out. And the same thing with my weight. Once I just kind of focus on that, it works out. And I had to surrender. I had to do a third step. And I kind of said something like, okay, God, I am no longer having an opinion on how much I weigh. It is completely up to you what I look like. And I was terrified because I knew I wasn't going to get a girlfriend. That was a joke. Well, no, it wasn't a joke. It was absolutely true. But I was terrified. But that's where I had to surrender that. And I had to work the third step around my weight and say, you know, it's your call. It's higher power's call. And that worked. It really worked. I didn't throw away my scale, but I stopped getting on the scale every morning. I didn't look in the mirror as much. And when I looked in the mirror, I wasn't so mean. And it was a wonderful point in my recovery. And it was all thanks to that third step and having a really great sponsor. Sometime later, this is really funny. So I joined the Peace Corps. It was so self-will run riot, like 9 months into recovery. And I thought that I had learned everything I needed to learn, and I could now go on and do what I need, you know, save the world. And I literally, the reason I joined the Peace Corps was that people would think I was cool. And yeah, I'm still sick. But anyway, I went to this culture where it was in the South Pacific, and this culture is so funny. They, in terms of weight, commenting on somebody's weight is like commenting on what jacket they're wearing. It literally is like they're just making an observation about your body. It's like, oh, hey, Billy, you're really fat. Normal conversation. It's like if I was like, hey, person, I really like your hat. Like, oh, you're very, very, they would say your belly is hanging. That's the literal translation. So I really had to get over my body image if I was going to go over that. And it's actually really funny. It kind of worked because people said that to me all the time. And at some point, I was just like, yeah, I am larger than you are. That is correct. Thank you for letting me know. It's not my fault you've lived on an island with bananas and you're skinny as a rod. So that kind of helped me get over a little bit of this self-conscious. Oh, what are people going to think of me? Well, they're going to tell you what they think of you. And not weight-related. They have a local language, and my little brother in the Peace Corps made a comment, like said something, and everybody laughed. And I was like, what did he just say? And they were like, oh, he just said that the sun's really hot today. And I'm like, so I turned to the little brother, I was like, what did you say? He's like, you're slouching and you look like an old man. That's what they said. And I was like, thanks, guys. I love you all. So anyway, that it actually helped get over my some of my issues. So I came back, and I wasn't living on an island and eating bananas. And I've gained a little bit of weight from the Peace Corps. And I also, something that happened in my recovery, not body image related, is that I did my amends to people, and I apologized for a lot of things, and then I kept on doing the things that I was apologizing for. I kept on causing those harms. And I kind of went back and talked to some people and realized that I never really properly worked the sixth and seventh step. And so I was making these amends for character defects and not, there wasn't any change. And I was still doing the things. So I went on this big six and seven voyage, if you will, and started reading a couple books about the sixth and the seventh step. Went to a six and step seven meeting in AA. Put that into my repertoire of meetings, and just started reading and working on it. And came across. Well, actually, I was working with the sponsee, and we were working on the six and seven steps. And she asked me a question. I didn't know what to say, and so I did the classic sponsor answer. When you don't know the answer, I just told her to look it up. And so we looked. We opened up a dictionary, and we looked up the word "removed." You know, we asked God to remove our character defects, and it says, you know, I always thought "remove" meant to like cast it out permanently, never to come back again. But in the dictionary, it says stuff like to take away from the position occupied, or to be distant from, to distance yourself from that. And then I look at that, and I look at my body image stuff. And today, my obsession with how I look and my shame how I look is no longer what it was. It's still there. It still crops up, but it's not what it used to be. It doesn't control my every action and move. I'm not driven by 100 forms of fear and self-delusion, like, you know, thinking I am a terrible person. But it's still there. And from what I've learned about my character defects is that I'm powerless over them, just like I was powerless over food. And I can't self-will my way into getting rid of this. It's like pushing a beach ball under the pool. The further I try to push, the harder it's going to come up and make a big ruckus when it comes out of the water. And I have to have God remove it for me, and I have to be willing, because right now I kind of hang on to this character defect. I don't know what it is that I get from hating myself. I don't know what, if it's comfortable, it's familiar, I'm not quite sure. But there's something I'm still hanging on to. And I like to kind of meditate on what my life would be like if I just didn't do this. If I walked into the mirror and didn't say, man, you're fat today. You know, when I walked first saying like, oh, I've gained some weight. Why? What my life would be like, how free and happy and content I would be if I didn't have that. And then I get kind of like, man, I would really like to have that. You know, I really would like that health in my life. And I become willing, and then I get on my knees and I say, you know, higher power, can you please do this for me? Because I can't. And it works. Miraculously, it works. And I'm getting a little emotional because I'm really happy. I'm really happy that... Sorry, that's a really good song. I like that. I'm happy because that song's playing. No, you're fine. I'm just teasing. I'm making a joke so I don't have to like get emotional. It's a character defect of mine that I'm not ready to get rid of yet. It's been an emotional week coming back from that family reunion. And it's been an emotional week because I've known that I'd have to stand up here and talk to everybody. And it's been very reflective, and how happy I am, or how grateful. It's not happy, because happy is an emotion that comes and goes, but just joy and gratitude of all the gifts that I've been given in this program. And I wouldn't have been able to be in a relationship if I still felt this way about myself. I was still looking for outside validation, and I'm able to be in a relationship now because I don't need that. I'm able to have that validation from myself. And so I'm just really grateful, and that's been a wonderful gift that I've gotten from being in this room, working these steps, calling my sponsor, and basically I've gotten that gift from you guys, because I wasn't able to do it by myself. So thank you so much for asking me to speak. I really appreciate everybody being here, and thanks again. Thank you.